But welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning. Well, it may not sound live, but I'm live this Saturday morning and happy to be with you if you're just joining us. The first hour of More Than Money will be available to you on podcast on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, Monday at noon. And please take advantage of that opportunity to review and grab the insights that we had from our first hour. Speaking of insights, we're very happy to be joined in this half-hour segment by our friend Randy Swan, Swan Capital. He is in Colorado, I believe. Randy, good morning.
Good morning to you. It's great to be participating on the radio show once again.
You're very, very kind. And what part of Colorado are you in this morning?
Our operations are located in Durango, Colorado, in the southwestern corner of the state near the Four Corners region.
So we're all fairly jealous of you this morning. That's a beautiful place to be, and it's got to be a great place to run your company.
Absolutely. It's when I started the company in the late 90s, it was a good place to enjoy the outdoors, but have time to develop a strategy in isolation from the major metropolitan areas.
Well, you use the correct word as we segue from your welcome to the idea of investing or investing successfully, and the word is strategy. With Swan Capital, you folks approach investing maybe a little bit differently than most average American investors might think. Can you give us kind of a sense of how you approach investing in the stock market?
Sure. I think everyone would agree in the large picture scheme of things that equities offer probably the best long-term potential for returns for investors. Of course, the problem with that is the volatility that's associated with investing in equities. So Swan Global has developed a strategy over the last 18-plus years that really focuses on managing market risk in a direct approach. And when I say that, what I mean is that historically speaking, the industry has always looked to diversification to solve some of the risk problems. And of course, one of our views, our philosophy originally was that market risk cannot be diversified away. And so that you may be able to invest in multiple different assets, but ultimately a lot of those assets can go down at the same time. So what we've tried to do is design a product, design a strategy called the defined risk strategy that really manages market risk on a more direct approach. And what I mean when I say that is that we will buy an option, called a put option, that will protect against large market sell-offs. And that allows us to really quantify the risk on an annual basis and hopefully at the end of the day be able to end up with a return stream that's much more stable and not as volatile as normally investing in stocks. This strategy is also not necessarily based on market timing or stock selection. So it kind of fixes some of the main problems out in the industry of investors and being concerned and using their emotions when making investment decisions.
Randy, there's no question that there are times in the very recent past where asset allocation, if it were expected to provide protection on the downside, simply did not work. 2008-09, that time period where we saw the significant decline in the equity side, the market side of our investment life. We also saw significant decline on the bond side, on the commodity side. There was, in the exception of cash, there was basically nowhere to hide. So your observation that allocation or diversification is not the end-all, be-all. Certainly, the average American investor has recent memory to support that. How does buying options into the market, how does that help protect folks on that downside?
Well, when you buy an option, and in this example, we're going to talk about a put option, what it does is it establishes a floor on that investment over a specified period of time. So what we're trying to do is buy an asset that's inversely correlated to the underlying equity portion of your portfolio. So that means if the market drops 20, 30, 40%, in a year like 2002 or 2008, that means that you know exactly what kind of risk you have on the front end over that time period. So it, once again, it's a much more direct approach to managing market risk, and it quantifies it. It fundamentally, it takes the guesswork away of trying to time the market and trying to decide, is this now a good time to buy or is this a good time to sell? Should we try to take advantage? Now, of course, there are some costs associated with buying that insurance. And, of course, we use the analogy. Most people insure most every aspect of their life, including their life, obviously, their health, their auto, their house, et cetera.
Sure.
Why not use an insurance concept in the management of your money? I mean, to a lot of people, obviously, their portfolios are one of the largest components of their net worth. And so we think it's equally important to try to do something similar to how you manage the risk and the other risks in your life.
So in your approach, you are invested predominantly on the equity side of life?
Well, our flagship product, which goes back to 1997, is based on the S&P 500, which is obviously the broadest market gauge in the U.S. and probably the biggest market in the entire world. But we are very confident in our strategy that, in fact, we've even launched additional mutual funds to basically do the exact same strategy on different underlying assets. And that I mean by, let's say, emerging markets or small cap stocks, gold, treasury, et cetera. So we're in the process of the firm is trying to roll out additional products that will meet investors' needs beyond just the S&P 500. But yeah, the S&P 500 is our flagship product. It's the product that has given us the success that we've had over the last almost two decades.
And let's talk a little bit about track record. The S&P 500, a lot of folks have kind of added that to their vocabulary over the last 5 or 10 or 15 years. A lot of average Americans who would not have thought themselves that interested in the market as they got closer and closer to retirement found themselves very interested in the market. And yet they have observed, rightfully so, that there's a tremendous amount of volatility, a tremendous amount of the roller coaster ride associated with being in the S&P 500. How has your approach, has it had a dampening effect on that roller coaster ride?
Absolutely. I mean, there's various ways to measure risk, but the most used in the industry is standard deviation. So our goal originally when we designed the strategy was to try to give clients a similar type return as an equity-like return over a full market cycle without the big drawdowns during bear markets. So historically speaking, we've been able to reach that goal and with really, quite frankly, with a lot less risk. One of the other benefits, in addition just to the standard deviation, which measures the variation of returns, is also how long it takes after bear markets to recover and get back to kind of square one where you're actually making money in your portfolio again. And so one of the components of our strategy really allows and really shortens that distance or that time that it takes usually to recover from your bear market. I think most of our clients that were around in the 2007 to 2009 bear market were actually making money, actually had broke even after that bear market in the second quarter of 2009. So that's compared to a 4+ year recovery time period in the S&P 500. Now, it's also true that the value proposition is not just management of risk. We think that you'll end up with, you know, a pretty respectable return at the end of the day. So really, our view is that we think that our strategy can provide good performance in terms of returns as well as risk management.
Very good. There's a lot of folks out there, I'm sure, listening or saying, wait a second, this sounds like something that I should have in my portfolio. It sounds like it should be a piece of my portfolio. Can you describe in your mind the type of client that this portfolio fits best?
Well, when I designed the strategy in the late 90s, it was really designed after Alan Greenspan made that comment, irrational exuberance. And I think what that shows you is that even though he theoretically was the smartest guy in the room, the most well-connected guy, he was still off by multiple years in terms of when the market actually topped out. And I think that just shows you how hard it is ultimately to time or predict what's going to happen in the market. And so our strategy really allows investors of all types to be able to have access to equity-like returns without the potential drawdowns or as big a drawdowns that you would normally have. So where we fit in a portfolio, You know, myself personally, I invest, all my assets in the strategy under different assets. What I would argue is, I use an analogy that we talk about when I went to my hygienist one time. And I asked my hygienist, we were talking about flossing our teeth, and he relayed a story from one of his patients that said, hey, what teeth should I floss? And he said, only the ones that you want to keep. And I thought that was really funny, and I use that that story a lot of times. Of course, we're not coming here saying, hey, you should put 100% of your money in our strategy, but we absolutely believe it should be a core component of your strategy because it manages market risk effectively. So you really want to put a substantial sizable assets. I mean, I think our typical allocation is somewhere between 20 and 40% of a portfolio.
I understand. Now, here's kind of an odd question perhaps to pose to a gentleman who's livelihood is dependent on attracting folks, inspiring folks to entrust him with their money. What kind of investors do you think does this approach really not fit very well?
It does not fit well with investors that believe that we're going to be in a 20-year bull market going forward. I think that if we were going to go on a sustained long-term bull market with very little drawdowns or corrections or bear markets in the interim, I think you'd be better off probably just investing in the stock market. But for anyone beyond that, I think where our largest natural fit, quite frankly, is older persons that basically are either nearing retirement or in retirement that don't have the time to wait for a recovery if there is a bear market. So that's really our niche in the market is, hey, the fixed income environment's not so great right now. You're left with investing in equity-type products, but we have an equity-like product that can actually protect to the downside. So that's where our biggest group of people in investing with us is the people that are nearing retirement or in retirement that cannot wait or afford to wait out the next bear market.
Very interesting. Randy, we've been talking now for a fair piece of time about the approach and about the S&P 500, about the use of options to protect to the downside. And you've mentioned a couple times along the way that this is not market timing. This is not trying to guess when the market will go up or when the market will go down. Now, having said that, we've been through, particularly this summer, a pretty protracted downward push. This last week or so, 10 days, we've had a bit of an upward bounce. Do you have, if for no other reason than for entertainment value, some opinion of what caused the market to go down, what might have caused it to bounce up, and what direction the market might be taking?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up. We just actually put on our website, swanglobalinvestments.com, a white paper, and it was titled A Summer Squall or the Start of the Hurricane Season. And really that kind of denotes my view right now on the market is the market really has had a pretty substantial correction over the last month or so, notwithstanding that it's rallied over the last week and a half. But at the end of the day, we just don't know where we're at right now, which is what goes back to our philosophical core position, is you can't time the market. So it's too early to know what's going to happen in terms of what caused it. I mean, look, we've had a 6-plus year in the bull market run. The average bear market comes about every 3.5 years and is about 35%. So statistically speaking, we're way overdue for a sell-off. To me, if you had to ask what I think really has caused the sell-off, I think people are just, the market's exhausted. It's gone up so far, so long, that a normal part of the process is that there are going to be sell-offs. Like I said, if we talk in another 2 or 3 months, I think we'll probably have some resolution one way or the other. But I think it goes back to what I said earlier. It's very tough to time the market. Because you really have to get it right twice, right? You've got to get out at the right time and get back at the right time, or vice versa. So that's one of the pitfalls of trying to time the market.
Randy, the average person listening wouldn't even consider the course of action I'm going to ask you about next, which is the use, personal use, of options in protecting themselves within a portfolio. Again, our average More Than Money audience member is not the do-it-yourselfer. They're not pinned to their workstation on a day-by-day basis, minute-by-minute trading stocks. A lot of folks have suggested, however, that there are systems available to the average investor to use options to in effect protect themselves or perhaps even insure themselves against losses. I have been approached personally by a fair number of these companies trying to sell these systems. Have you bumped into any of these systems, and what's your opinion?
Well, look, as someone that's been an avid investor my entire life, I mean, if people truly have the time to learn systems like this, you know, I think it's something that some of those people may be worth doing. But if I think for probably 90-95% of the people out there, I think it's not worth the energy, because you can hire someone to do it for you for a lot cheaper, and have the systems and the dedication they have, the staff that we have to implement and execute our strategy. But at the end of the day, I mean, I do love the concept of individual investors taking some personal responsibility in their portfolio, and not necessarily much and necessarily having to manage it all, but actually go through and understanding the educational process that it takes to be able to make good decisions that hopefully helps everyone reach their long-term, you know, investment goals.
Excellent. Randy, where does the Federal Reserve either raising or not raising rates, where does that factor into your strategy, if at all?
It actually really doesn't, because we're always invested and always hedged. It just takes that out of the concept of trying to really factor that into your investment plan. I mean, obviously, from a little slightly separate perspective, I would just say the Federal Reserve, quite frankly, is in a bind, because, you know, they've done a good job of maintaining the markets and helping it increase over the last 6+ years. But of course, every time they even mention the possibility of a rate hike, they have to back off of that because the market immediately sells off. So it's very hard for me to understand how they're going to get out of this predicament without causing some severe damage to the market at some point.
And if that were to occur, of course, your system is in place to prevent, or at the very least, to minimize the downward push.
Exactly. It's meant to, we always try to tell people that we're designed to protect against bear markets, not necessarily short-term corrections. The cost to worry about short-term corrections is really, quite frankly, excessive what the benefits would be derived. But long-term, you know, having the access to be able to make a kind of rate of return that everyone wants in their portfolio without having to try to time it is pretty compelling from our perspective. And that's obviously what our strategy is all about, is recognizing the limitations of human, that we can't predict what's going to happen, gain some smart exposure to the market, protecting against what potentially could happen, you know, if and when some of this stuff the Federal Reserve has created, it gets unwound.
Randy, you mentioned your website earlier. If folks out there would like to learn more about Swan Capital, where do they go?
SwanGlobalInvestments.com. It's a website that really has a lot of material about our strategy, our firm. We're very big into transparency at our firm and the educational process. So we really invite everyone to come on there, read some of our recent Good, Bad, and the Ugly articles, which is my quarterly newsletter, as well as white papers that various members of the firm write up on a regular basis. So that's a great place to learn about our strategy, our concepts, our philosophy, et cetera.
Randy, thanks very much for taking time out of your Saturday morning. I know it's early out in Colorado, and we appreciate you making that sacrifice for us. We'll talk soon, I'm sure.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed doing it.
Take care. Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, a couple of things that you should know, everybody should know. We've had Randy on the show previously. We have a fair number of investment advisors, investment managers on the show. We neither endorse nor disparage their efforts. We use them as an opportunity to get educated. And I think if you listen carefully for the last 20-plus minutes, you picked up a couple very interesting ideas that may or may not be appropriate for you. Again, in the interest of full disclosure, the MTM Financial Group, our More Than Money advisors, have a fair number of our clients and a fair number of client dollars invested both in Swan Defined Risk as a mutual fund and through a separately managed account platform, some of the Swan Capital Investments. Not all of our clients are invested. because it's not appropriate for all of our clients. There isn't, in my opinion, of course I would be correct, but in my opinion, there isn't an investment that has yet been invented that is correct for everyone. I don't think it exists. Is Swan's approach appropriate to be considered for a lot of folks? I think yes. And that was one of the reasons why we wanted to invite Randy on. I also wanted to give you kind of a slightly different feel, a slightly different approach to the interpretation of the market. So, for example, if you go online this morning, as I did very early, you will find lots of information about stock market performance, particularly of late. End of the week, there's always a summary. For example, the Dow was up 3.7% for the week. The S&P was up 3.25% for the week. These are very, very interesting numbers. Crude oil is right at now approximately $60 a barrel after not many months ago being below $40 a barrel. And for a lot of folks, these are very significant numbers. They are data points that will be used to attempt, some way, shape, or form, to read the tea leaves, clarify the crystal ball, shuffle the tarot cards, and come to a conclusion about the future. Randy Swan's approach, as you just heard, included none of that. As a matter of fact, Randy cautioned several times against the either reliance on or suspicion that someone can effectively time the market, can effectively know what direction the market is going or at what point that the market will turn either higher or lower, even to the extent of saying that if you're going to be a successful market timer, we're not aware of anyone who's ever kind of fit that bill. If you're going to be a successful market timer, you've got to know when to get out and then when to get back in. So if you were successful in the last major downturn, you exited the market in October of 07, you re-entered the market in March of 09, you avoided all the downturn, you got all the upside. There isn't anyone out there that actually did that. And when you hear an investment manager declare rather emphatically that a technique that is widely sought after, the holy grail of investments, is absolutely not part of his approach, because in his opinion, it doesn't work. By the way, in the opinion of rational thinking people everywhere, it doesn't work. It should give you some pause if your approach is to try to market time, or if you're working with a financial advisor whose approach claims to use market timing. Swan Global Investments. Very interesting. Very, very interesting indeed. Again, thanks to Randy Swan for taking time out very early in the morning in Colorado. I mean, come on, 7 o'clock. It was up at 5:20, so come on. Voice of an Angel says we have a half an hour break here, which means a half an hour to go. And heck, if I were you, I would stick around just to see if Gene's voice lasts another half an hour. That could be fun. We could start an office pool. Okay. At what point does he just crumble to the floor? I guess we'll find out. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. We'll take your calls, your questions, your concerns after this on More Than Money. But welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning, October the 10th. If you are just joining us, you missed, you missed a lot. Missed a lot, including in our 9 o'clock segment, we had a very interesting conversation with Randy Swan of Swan Global Capital. And a very, very interesting approach that invests in the stock market, the S&P 500, but provides some downside protection over time with the use of put options. And if you missed that interview, sad for you. Next. Nah, come on. Podcast will be available Monday at noon on our More Than Money website, morethanmoneyonline.com. Please check that out. I think you'll find that very, very interesting. If you're a More Than Money client, if you're part of our More Than Money family in the More Than Money world headquarters between Bethlehem and Nazareth in the Holy Lands, you may very well already be familiar with SWAN and SWAN-defined risk, etc. Keep in mind, of course, that there are no perfect investments, and even though I find SWAN's approach to be very interesting and very useful for lots and lots of folks, it's not perfect for everyone. Make sure you're evaluating carefully whatever investments you're looking at, whether it be a mutual fund, a separately managed account, an ETF, a variable annuity, a fixed annuity. There's lots of moving parts out there. Lots of moving parts out there. And to be fair, lots of great information is available as well. I've been watching some of these public service announcements from, I'm not sure if it's FINRA or the SEC is putting them out, saying, hey, wouldn't you check out, you know, if you're going to go to a doctor, wouldn't you check out your doctor? If you're going to go to a mechanic, wouldn't you check? Hey, when you go to a financial advisor, wouldn't you check them out? Well, sure you should. Absolutely. There are lots of resources online where you can check out a financial advisor's credentials and whether they've got, you know, the kind of things that you're looking for in terms of skills or experience, or whether they got some negative stuff going. You might want to find out about that before you trust your money to them. Well, hey, how about mutual funds? Can you check those out? Oh, my gosh, there's information everywhere. And annuities. I spent a little bit of time on Thursday with a gentleman, been a client of ours for quite some time. We were talking about fixed indexed annuities. Next? No, goodness, no, you can't just go next. Lots of different moving parts. The regulators that we trust and that are there to protect the consumer tell us that fixed indexed annuities, unlike what you may have heard on other radio shows, who would love you to believe that they are simple, simple, simple. You invest in the stock market, and when the market goes up, you make bunches of money. And when the market goes down, you don't lose a penny in the Wall Street casino. Oh, please. Number one, you're not investing in the stock market. How about that? How about that as a start for people should be telling the truth more accurately? Number two, the upside is going to be rather modest. Stock market goes up 20%. If you're expecting a 20% return, you're going to be very sadly disappointed. Number three, order of magnitude of importance. Each company often has lots of little wrinkles and moving parts and strangenesses to how they calculate your return. Regulators consider fixed indexed annuities some of the most complex investment products available today. And as a result, there are a lot of, for folks who try to do these things correctly, for advisors who use these correctly, there are a lot of requirements. There are a lot of training issues that have to be involved. There are a lot of licensing issues that are involved. These are complex items. Do your homework. Make sure you're working with an advisor that does his or her homework as well. Very, very important. 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com. If you are our caller of the week and you appear on both our website and our blog, you will also receive a very special gift from our good friend Karen Ketcher, Bethlehem Authoress Extraordinaire. Her first novel has been published by Thomas Dunn Books, St. Martin's Press division. It's called The Secrets of Lake Road. Halloween's coming, and this one is mysterious and haunting. By the way, the setting is the Poconos, so there's a lot of local ties here, and we have a couple copies of her book autographed. So first edition, first novel of an up-and-coming, without a doubt, future star. It's going to be a collector's item, and that can be yours. 610-720-7900. Now, this gentleman writes both a very kind and detailed email, and I'm going to try to give you as much as I can without violating his personal confidentiality. And by the way, he closes talking about his it's not salutary. What's your close on a letter? Don't know. Doesn't matter. Serving God by serving you. 100%. That's beautiful. Good for you. If more professionals and individuals just got their head around that one idea, serve God by serving your clients, the world would be a far better place. Whew, how about if the people in Washington, gentleman writes, and this opening paragraph absolutely touches me. It absolutely touches me. And it may not be obvious to you, but he said, I know you've touched on this subject several times, but it didn't pertain to me then, so I didn't pay much attention to the advice. My apologies. It touches me for 100 reasons. Number one, thanks for acknowledging that we cover a lot of topics. Number two, thanks for acknowledging to yourself when something doesn't apply directly to you. For the most part, we kind of let it wash over us and go away. That's what people do. That's what human beings do. And there are no apologies necessary because you're apologizing for being human. And with the exception of Harley, our chocolate lab mascot, my favorite audience members are human. With the exception of Harley. All right, you get that. Gentleman writes, he has a term life insurance policy for his wife. $100,000 or so, a very modest premium. When she applied, her health history affected the premium, meaning that she had some adverse issue and it increased the premium. And now it won't. Her health has improved. That's fantastic. And looking to replace it with something more reasonably priced. The policy is meant for the heaven forbid. And God bless them. I love the letter. Love the email. We have received a recommendation from a life insurance agent about purchasing permanent life insurance. Wanted to know your opinion on that option comparing to purchasing a term policy and investing the difference, say, in a Roth IRA or any other suggestion you may have. Based on the same interest projections, the Roth has the same savings as the annuity. Thank you. Very interesting question. from where I stand, the issue of permanent life insurance is driven by a couple of factors. And John, I'm going to ask you to hit that cough button one more time, please. Thank you, sir. It's driven by a couple of different factors. The strongest driver, in my opinion, and again, I keep saying in my opinion because I am by no means to be considered to be a life insurance expert. That's why I have friends like Dan Egito, who truly is a life insurance expert. I have friends like Mike Pompei, my friends at Ash Brokerage. These are folks who are truly life insurance experts. And this gentleman in particular, he and I will at some point sit with one of those gentlemen, likely Mike Pompei, and we're going to go through the options. And we're going to explore the feasibility of those options, whether it's feasible to get a very inexpensive permanent life insurance contract or a very inexpensive term insurance contract, and what that might mean in terms of cash flow. Now, having said all that, as a disclaimer, go back to Gene's opinion. In my opinion, the primary driver of permanent life insurance is to solve a problem that is a permanent problem. I think that sounds fairly logical. So let me see if I can give you an example of a problem that is not permanent and one that is. For example, I'm 25 years old. I buy a home. I expect it to be my home for the rest of my life. I get a 20-year mortgage. I do not want my bride to be at risk if I should get hit by a bus. I buy life insurance to cover that mortgage amount for the next 20 years. Pretty simple idea. Is that a permanent problem? No. No. No, hopefully not. The opposite of that is something like, I own a business. When I die, you notice I didn't say if. There's only one guy that beat that. And he did it with style. And that ain't me. So when I die, the business will need to replace me. And there will be a certain cost to that finding a replacement, training a replacement, a certain breakage in terms of speed bumps along the way, and having an insurance policy to provide that cash to the company when it's most needed is a permanent issue. It is an issue that only goes away when I go away. It's kind of makes some sense. So if I have a permanent problem, or in the alternative, permanent opportunity, another way we're seeing life insurance used very, very effectively is to provide for to solve charitable challenges. If you're a member of a church and you're supporting them year by year and they rely on your support and you pass away, that's a serious problem for them. You might want a permanent life insurance contract to provide for that charity. There are lots of different ways that these are permanent issues. Permanent insurance makes a lot of sense. There's another driver of where I think permanent insurance fits. And it's been incredibly useful for a lot of folks over many, many years. And that's if you need the discipline to save money for your future, permanent insurance can be a very effective way to do that. Is it insanely profitable to do it that way? Oh, goodness, no. Goodness, no. And any reputable life insurance expert would tell you that the embedded costs in life insurance, the mortality costs and the administrative costs and the fees associated with life insurance are significant, and as a result, cannot be life insurance cannot be compared effectively or efficiently or reasonably or appropriately as an investment vehicle. But can it be a forced savings plan? The answer is sure. If you don't have the discipline to do it yourself. This gentleman suggests he does have that discipline. This gentleman suggests that based on the ages that we're looking at, my apologies. I misread that. That is not an age. Okay. He suggests that he and his wife have the discipline to pay the premium, say on a term policy, and then direct the money elsewhere. A Roth IRA is mentioned. And if indeed he has that discipline, and if indeed his issue is not permanent, meaning at some point that protection is not necessary, then buying a term life policy and directing the difference between what he would have paid on a permanent plan with what he will pay for a term plan can be a very reasonable strategy. How do we know which is best? Ooh. Now, I know most of you listening are going, it depends. Well, sure it does. But in this case, knowing is not going to be terribly difficult. This gentleman and hopefully his bride will sit with me for, I would say less than 20 minutes. I will ask some very basic questions, just as the ones that we just outlined. Is this a permanent issue? Is it a temporary issue? Is it? Do you have good discipline? Do you have poor discipline? Do you have other investments that you've funded? Are you likely to continue this? These are the basic kinds of questions that they will answer. And the only reason it'll take 20 minutes is because even when Gene's sick, he talks too much. So I'll be chatting about, how about those St. Louis Cardinals? You know, who do you like in the playoffs? That kind of stuff. Because once we know the basics, then deciding what type of life insurance is appropriate becomes really easy. Number one, thank you to this gentleman. And again, I don't have permission to talk about the personal identifiers. That's why I haven't mentioned his name. But I loved your email, and I loved your sign-off, serving God by serving you. Fantastic. And I wish you great success, and we will be in touch, and hopefully we'll have that chance to meet, sit, and find out what's absolutely best for you and your bride and your family. But it also introduces a topic that's of concern to me. In recent weeks, we have talked on air about a number of investment, quote unquote, opportunities, quote unquote, with which I have serious concerns. Doesn't make them bad people, doesn't make them a bad investment. It simply means, as a financial advisor with 780 years of experience, sometimes my antenna go up when I hear certain things, And I'm going, I'm concerned. And there's another one. And it entails the use of life insurance as an investment vehicle. And I have received their materials, including a rather substantial book. I have been on their website, and I have printed off their disclaimers. And I have to say, I was rather impressed by their disclaimer. Not that it gave me comfort, but because it basically said in their disclaimer, everything that we tell you could very well be wrong. And it's up to you to figure it out. The disclaimer in one particular portion of their website was so small that I had to print it off and then do that Zoom campaign, that plus 200% so I could read it. And that's wearing my readers. And in essence, it says, look, I know you're on here because you think you're going to be making a great investment. And the reality is we're not telling you anything that you can believe. Part of their claim in their marketing is, and they use the term Wall Street casino. Everybody uses it. Everybody that's trying to sell a product to scare people, they talk about the Wall Street casino. They talk about the stock market absolutely will drop 20, 30, 40%. And what are you going to do when it absolutely will do that? These are all statements that can never be made by a trusted financial advisor because the regulations forbid such statements. So when you hear such inflammatory statements, you know you're being sold. And one of the things that they make claim in their sales pitches, you can never see a downturn in your money. It's kind of interesting because in their own material, the life insurance contract that they are offering up as demonstration of how magnificent their opportunity really is, in the first year loses more than 40%. And yet they will lay claim that if you're invested in the stock market, you will someday go down 20, 30, 40%. Well, I have looked at their material. What they are assuring you is that if you use their life insurance approach to investment, at least in the short run, you're guaranteed to lose. If you have questions about that opportunity or any other opportunity, if you need a second opinion on your investment, either investment choices or your financial choices, your financial future, easily obtained, our More Than Money advisors will sit with you, ask you all the appropriate questions, share ideas at no charge. Simply send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. Or go on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. Use any of the contact information there. Noodle around, learn a great deal, listen to some of our radio podcasts, and then contact us. Or you can certainly be old-fashioned about it if you wish. You can give us a phone call, 610-746-7007. Folks, thanks for spending part of your time. Thanks for being very patient with me and my health struggles this morning. We'll hopefully be doing a far better job the next time we talk on More Than Money. You know